Chet Pleben, thank you for coming on the show with us. This Greitens case, specifically the invasion of privacy case, got some interesting news today about the photograph in question, the one that was alleged to be used as blackmail, that was on the governor's phone. Apparently, it's not on the governor's phone.
Well, or apparently the lack of photograph. I don't know how they make this case without a photograph. Actually, some evidence that not only that a photograph was taken, but that it was taken on an instrument that was capable of transmitting that image mm-hmm. to a computer. I mean, that's the gravamen of the felony. The misdemeanor is just taking the photograph, but if you transfer it into the computer and it becomes accessible, that's your felony offense. And so I think, Annie, what they're going to do here, and I think Judge Burleson has repeatedly asked him, do you have a photograph? Do you have a photograph?
Minor detail.
Where's the beef here?
Yeah.
And then they have said no, and instead they intend to prove this case circumstantially, which means that they will say, all right, she was tied up. She had her eyes were covered. She saw what appeared to her to be a flash. She heard what appeared to be the click, I guess, or the sound that an iPhone makes when you're taking a photograph. How mm-hmm. she's able to tell that, I don't know. but that's what she's going to say. And thirdly, that he told her that he took a photograph. But the problem that they have is if he took that, maybe he had an old Brownie Instamatic camera lying mm-hmm. around, in which case that would not be accessible to a computer. So taking a picture doesn't begin and end the story. You have to somehow get it to a computer. But even if you do that, see, I don't think, and I've said this from day one, I don't think that this statute is meant to apply this way. I mean, if you take a photograph of someone without their knowledge and consent and full of partial state of nudity, and you take it with your iPhone, but you don't take that, you don't put that anyplace. It's totally inaccessible to anybody other than somebody who wants to hack into your computer. I just think that there has to be some sort of felonious intent.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, the statute is written very, very poorly, and it may ultimately, at the end of the day, be void for vagueness. It may be unenforceable because it is so vague.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Has Greitens ever been questioned or made a statement to your knowledge about whether he did or did not take that photo?
He has declined to answer that. And this is kind of interesting. So he acknowledged the affair, but he did not acknowledge, he didn't say he did or didn't say he didn't, neither confirmed nor denied the photograph, which from a legal perspective is good for him. From a PR perspective, you kind of have to wonder,
yeah.
Well, if you didn't take the photograph, then why didn't you say you take the photograph when you're admitting that you had an affair? But from a legal perspective, they can't use that as an admission against his interest and use it against him during a trial. And certainly, he had the affair. Okay, well, having the affair doesn't get you convicted of a felony.
Right.
So you have to prove, they have the burden of proof that he took the photograph and it was actually a photograph and that it was hooked up to a computer somehow. And I just don't see how they're going to make it. The other question I suppose that I have is what they're now scurrying around trying to look at his cell phone. Where have they been since what, January or February? Why are they just waiting until now to get the search warrant to look at his phone?
Right.
They knew they had to prove this, and they got, frankly, I think they got out-lawyered because I suspect they indicted him on the eve of the statute of limitations ending. And I assume that they expected a long period of discovery and a long time before the case would go to trial. And what the lawyers did, the defense lawyers did, was, no, we're ready for trial today,
yeah.
The day after the indictment. And they said, oh, whoops, we're not ready. And certainly they knew that they wouldn't be ready because they indicted him on the eve of the statute running. So here they are.
Hmm. Did the ex-husband, when he was unveiling this story, did he ever claim to have seen the photo? Has anybody ever claimed to have seen the photo? Or is the only genesis of this idea of this photo existing that the ex-husband told the story that he had heard that this photo had been taken from his wife?
Nobody that I know, nothing that I have seen thus far indicates that anyone at all has seen the photograph. And the only indication was with the tape recording that the ex-husband made surreptitiously of the ex-wife talking about the circumstances of this affair or this encounter. But as far as the photograph is concerned, no. I mean, you might think that if he's going to threaten, and she's testifying that he threatened her to release the photograph, well, and again, the jury has to judge her credibility with respect to that statement, but you might think that if he's going to threaten with the photograph, that at least you'd show her the photograph so that...
The threat would stick.
Yeah, that
she know you mean business, yeah.
I don't want that out there. You know, and then apparently he said, well, he then destroyed the photograph. But my understanding, and I'm not a techie person, but my understanding is even if you delete these things, that they can be, under certain circumstances, retrieved.
So let me ask you this question. In the event that this story was potentially contrived about this photo, if there was never a photo, or if the story was contrived, is there criminal or civil recourse that either the ex-husband or the mistress would potentially face?
Yes. Well, first of all, as far as both of them are concerned, they both testified under oath. So potentially, if they gave false testimony, that's certainly a potential perjury charge. Secondly, making false police reports, those sorts of things, those are potential criminal violations. But you know, Kim Gardner, you think that Kim Gardner is going to prosecute anybody if this case goes south on her? She's going to head for the hills, at least I would.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be, you know, again, she did the Stockley case. That went south on her. She's doing this case now. And to a certain extent, frankly, Annie, you know, she had this dumped on her, just like she had the Stockley case dumped on her. And so, you know, she did her best with what she had to work with, I suppose, and this is the end result. But no picture, in my opinion, no picture, no conviction.
All right. Well, we will continue to watch this. Thank you for your insight. We're going to call you back.
Okay,
just know that you are our guy, and we are looking forward to having you on and your insight, because all I have is questions. That's all I've got.
That's all any of us have.
Yeah, that's true. Chet Pleben, thank you for your time.
Thanks, Annie.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.